Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Today is October 4th, and the Yankees have won the wild card game, and they are moving on to a five-game set versus the Boston Red Sox. Let's talk Yanks.
Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jake. Recaps galore and weekly awards. Stat lines, steaming hot takes. Get your Yankees news with these two fine dudes. It's time for Talking Yanks. Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jake. Talking Yanks with old John Boy, John Boy and Jake.
What's up, everybody? Thank you very much for tuning in to Talking Yanks and listening and saying hi and all that and engaging and supporting. And woo, baby, did the Yanks win big. Was that nice? Was that fun? Was that a huge sigh of release? My name is John Boy. I am coming to you from the Jersey Shore, and I have my co-host Jake coming to you from Denver. He's a transplanted Yankee fan, originally from Connecticut. This episode of Talking Yanks is brought to you by two very special people, Michael Mogren. I thought it was Morgan. It looks like it's Mogren. I think he typoed his own name. I think it's Michael Morgan. If not, I apologize. And Liam Heslin. I believe we met Liam at a game once. Thank you very much for supporting us on Patreon and sponsoring this episode. If you'd like to support us on Patreon and sponsor the next episode, which will be the ALDS Game 1 versus the Red Sox, go to patreon.com/talkingyanks. It's $2 a month. You get your name in a hat to win a raffle at the end of every month. Daniel O'Brien won for September. Congrats, Daniel. You get live access. We have people watching the podcast live right now. They're viewing us live. They are patron supporters. They also get to watch the video at any time if you want to see Jake's face, my face, our reactions, our thoughts, whatever. You know, sometimes video, you get that and you get some other stuff. That ends the intro and the spiel. Jakey boy, how are you?
Jimmy, my man.
Yanks won.
Did you watch the game?
Oh, did I ever.
What a game, man. I don't even know where to start. I think we got to do our thing, and we're going to cover everything. I'm scared to start talking right now because I'm just not going to stop.
Yes, that's what I do all the time.
I know.
Should we talk about before the game? We did a pregame show on Instagram Live, and I think we're going to continue doing those throughout the postseason. So if you want our pregame thoughts, go there. The podcast will stay exactly the same. Jake's going to burn the game, and then we're going to go inning by inning, just thoughts, players. I don't even remember how we did them last postseason. Just kind of think about the game, talk about the game. If you're in the live chat on Patreon, go to the live chat and throw questions on our way for these. That would be great, because if we might be so caught up in the hype of all this euphoria that we forget things. So if you want to go in the pop-up chat and talk questions, we're going to try and get through everything we can. I think, Jake, you just burn it. People love the burns. The burns are fun. That recaps the game. Or do we want to talk about how fucking nerve-wracking of a day the wild card game is before we go?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk nerve-wracking day. We could talk nerve-wracking 4 weeks or so. It's one game. We just saw the Cubs lose essentially 2-1 game series at Wrigley.
That scared me. It's one game, and you're right. Like, for 3 weeks, I remember I gave my whole plan, like my whole brain. I remember giving my whole brain spiel. This is my brain. And it was like, everything the Yankees are doing sucks. And if they lose the wild card game, we can scream. But if they win, then we keep going. And it's like all of our thoughts and opinions rested on this one game for a month. It came, they dominated, it went. And now we can focus on a DS, and now we can reevaluate everything. It's just like, you love Dr. Pimple Popper. It's like, we just got a geyser on the back. And it's just like, ah, okay, I can go on my day. We can move on.
Yeah, good shout out for Dr. PP.
Your favorites. Okay, we're going to recap the wild card game. Then Boston, I don't know if we do that at the end of this or if we just...
I think we're just going to give some Boston thoughts and then do a full Boston thing tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'm down. We haven't planned that out, but I'm down with that. We have the off day tomorrow and then the game Friday. And I haven't even thought about Boston. Like, someone in the live chat just said, are we nervous about Boston? And I haven't even thought about Boston yet. I had to Google when the schedule was, because that's how much this one game was a fucking huge wall. The Berlin Wall. We just knocked it down. Now we can see what's on the other side. More Germans.
You wanted to look ahead so badly, but you knew you couldn't because you look like such fools.
You can't.
If there was even an ounce of hint of that. Yeah, I hopped on Instagram after the game, just kind of talking to myself a little bit. We're going to be content machines in the next, as long as the Yankees playoff run goes, and even after that.
Dude, my brain is fried from how much I do. How funny was it? So people that don't know, my power went out in the whole town, right? And I tweeted that out, and I was like, that sucks. And your tweet, like, you saw everyone was like, go to a bar.
Yeah, problem solved, dude. Yeah. Just go to the bar and watch a game.
Yeah. I mean, but people follow me on Twitter, so they don't know what I do. I guess they don't know how much it takes to do what I do while I watch games live.
The extent.
Yeah. Three screens, five different programs. My brain's fried. Like, I made a Lil Wayne video to the Lil Wayne song plus the home run highlight video. I made a J. Cole song plus all the highlights video. Post them already. Content. We're gonna crush it. T-shirts. T-shirts right now are buy one, get 50% off. I don't know how long we're going to do that sale. Probably till the game starts Friday.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, people started asking me questions about next series, and I was like, oh my God, yeah. What?
Not even there yet. Not even there.
Hap. And then go.
Hap starting. It's in Fenway. All right, let's burn this game.
Let's burn it.
Jakey, burn. Burn, Jakey, burn. Bernie Williams, Disco Inferno. Mm. Burn. If you're a new listener, we may have some new listeners tonight.
Yeah.
Jakey Burns means he just recaps a game like old school Sports Center. Has some fun. Are you ready to burn, Jake?
I'm ready.
On your mark. Get set. Burn, Jakey, burn.
Wild card, baby. Luis Severino versus Liam Hendricks, a.k.a. Bullpen Day from Oakland. Sevy mows him down in the first. McCutchen walked to set up this. A court-ordered two-run shot by the judge. Aaron Judge has the Bronx going bonkers. It's 2-0 after one. Same score, top four. Bases loaded for the A's. Two outs. Sevy punches him out. Lets out a big roar. Top five. Sevy gives up two hits. First hits of the game for Oakland. Gets pulled for Deli. Okay. Two flyouts and a K. Gets out of it. He pitches two perfect innings. Huge by Deli. Bottom six, it's still 2-0. In comes Fernando Rodney, MLB record 35th season in the bigs. Judge chops a double. Hicks ropes a double. 3-0. In comes Trinan, the closer. Zero outs, runner on third. Stanton, 8-pitch walk. King Louis V, 9-pitch, 2-RBI triple. Didi sack fly. Stanton hits one to the moon for funsies. Bullpen does enough to hold on. Yanks win 7-2. Advance to play 5 against the Sox. Let's go, Yanks.
Fuck the wild card. Wild card over. Fuck the wild card. Wild card over. Whew. Nice. Okay.
Wild card's tough.
It's a wall. You can't... We won't harp on it anymore. But it's just such a blockage in your brain. And now that it's gone, okay. But let's talk about this game. First inning, Sevy comes out, and the tweet I saw, I retweeted, it was like, Sevy can do anything on the spectrum from good to bad tonight, and I won't be shocked. And that's crazy. And I think it was Collins, minor league beat reporter, that wrote that, and he was right. And then right away, dude, strike one, strike two, strike three. Hey, Martini, you're a rookie. You shouldn't be starting this game. You're fucking out. Three pitches, Sevy announces his presence with authority. Then you get the nice play by Voit on Miggy's bad throw. And then another strikeout? Yeah, and then another strikeout. And it's just like, oh, my God. The crowd after the third strikeout? Ooh, I mean, that – how much would you say the 1-2-3 inning and then the crowd helped Judge's home run? Is that you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it coming in that the crowd would be a big factor, and I know that's a weird thing to say in sports because you don't want to – the guy that actually thinks they're affecting the game is the worst guy. But when you're going to use this many pitchers, you're setting yourself up for someone having a bad day and being shook. And essentially, I mean, Oakland had, what, two guys have bad days? And that was kind of the difference. And hindsight's 20/20, and it's easy to say this, but I said a lot of this stuff before the game. Liam Hendricks. I mean, you've got a lot of talented guys in this bullpen. Some guys that have pitched a lot of big games, and you're throwing Liam Hendricks out there to start. And again, I don't want to sound peacocky right now, but I said this to you before the game, so you can confirm. If McCutchen got on, I thought we were scoring.
You did say that. And everyone said, like, okay, starter's cool, but Liam Hendricks? All his stats are bad. All his stats at Yankee Stadium were bad. All his stats against the Yankees weren't that great, besides one inning this year was good.
He's been the opener 8 times, and he's had a 2.08 ERA, so I'm guessing he's in 8 times he's given up 2 runs. I don't have the stats, so I'll stop dancing around it. But it's Liam Hendricks, and it's the wild card game. And the whole point of the opener is to get through the team's 3 best hitters and get out of the inning clean. And you're not throwing one of your best pitchers, and it's in the Bronx. And I'm telling, we talked about this. Seve, he got the last out strikeout, so the crowd's already going nuts. McCutchen walks, and he's on base. And now Liam Hendricks has to get through Judge, Hicks, Stanton at the minimum to get 3 outs with a runner on first and no outs. I'm just not buying it. And he left the one pitch up to Judge, and he connected. And Judge, man, I mean, I was just gonna say, do we start there, even though we've been talking for 10 minutes? But you kind of do start there, because we've come blind to how special it is.
No, Judge is so special. I think this was a huge reminder how special he is. I mean, he's got 2 home runs and 2 wild card games now. So they said like 6 home runs in postseason now in like two years in a game.
Yeah.
I mean, he is our leader on the field, off the field. Like, Judge, the biggest lesson we learned from 2018 was that Judge is this team and this city. Like, the entire landscape of the team and the fan base changed when he stepped on the field as a defensive replacement and didn't even get an at-bat. From then on, this team's been better. Sure, like, Kutch came and he's done good and Luke Voit's been crazy, but Judge was the glue that started that. And then right then, he's the leader. And just the reaction. And then I really thought we were going to... We kind of did the thing where you just level out, and that was scary. Seve got in some trouble. So if we move on, the second inning, Seve gets 1-2-3 again. We get 2 runners on in the bottom of the second. Gary, they brought in that Trevino.
Yeah, I was going to say, people talked about the leveling out, but Trevino's really good, and he pitched really well.
Yo, he was really nasty. And the funny thing was, he was so nervous at the beginning, the crowd got in his head. He walked 2 guys. And that bullpenning was a bad strategy because every pitcher couldn't get into the, like, how, like, when, so every pitcher came in and then had to deal with the atmosphere. And they had to get through that tough part. And we saw Trevino struggle with it, but eventually Gary hit the double play and Glaber had a horrible at bat to let him off the hook that first inning. Then for 2 more innings, Trevino settled in once he got used to it. But then we saw the witch, Trinan, come in, and he had to deal with the atmosphere. So every time they brought in a new guy to Yankee Stadium, it was like, well, he has to adapt to us now, to the crowd. So the crowd, you're just
dancing with the devil too much with that many relievers. I think if Oakland got the chance to replay this game, I think they start Trevino. Because, hey, they pitched him for what? Into three innings today? So knowing you have a guy that you can even push like that. Like Oakland, let's be honest, Oakland was praying for Liam Hendricks to get through one clean inning. And Trevino's a guy that they thought they could push three out of. And, man, the other thing, and I don't want this to turn into an Oakland bashing, how do you start, how do you lead off Nick Martini?
In our pregame show, we said that that lineup was stupid as shit. I was smiling ear to ear when I saw they had Chris Davis fourth, and then Sebi did it.
If you replay that game and you're Oakland, and again, who the fuck are we? The guys who won? Hello. I think you bat Lowry lead off, Chapman two, and Davis three hole, and I think that's obvious. No.
Yes, but whatever. We don't. No
Jed Lowry had crazy numbers off Sevy, and it's just like Nick Martini. This guy's played 53 major league games.
Yeah, what? No,
you're gonna let Sevy basically get the first out after last year's wild card.
Yeah,
I mean that's just folkish. But back to Yanks.
Back to Yanks. Yeah, no one cares about the Oakland guys. They suck. They lost.
So I mean, can we jump a couple innings? Because you're right. I mean, Trevino kind of shut us down.
Well, I want to talk about Gary had that double play later on. He hit into what would have been a double play, but he beat it out. So offensively terrible. But Gary was fantastic behind the plate. Maybe not fantastic. Well, actually, he was.
No, he was. He was. He had a great game behind the plate.
He was really good. And even the TBS announcers, who I don't listen to that much because I'm doing so much stuff on my own, but everyone seemed to hate him. They even said, like, he got soft hands. When Sevy was in that bases loaded jam, which we can jump to now, he was blocking balls in the dirt like perfectly. They were on the same page. I was listening to Mike Francesa earlier today when I was driving around in fits of anxiety, and the entire conversation was, if you're going to choose Sevy, you have to choose Romine. If you want to play Sanchez, you got to pitch Hap. They can't go together. And it was a valid, like, it was valid because they had been a terrible combo, be on the same page and all that. And tip of your hat to the analytics team, to Boone, to Cashman, to whoever, like, you know, the whole group that made that decision, because Sevy and Sanchez worked. Sevy went scoreless through four. I think they didn't pull him in time, but it worked out in the end, which is, that's what we'll get to that now, I guess. I think that's the next talking point. Sevy gets out of the bases loaded jam, and you think he's done. He's gone through four, no hit ball, two walks, a couple errors, some double plays that should have been turned behind him. It would have been even easier. But he's coming up on the third time through the order. Boone sends him back out. At the time, were you a fan of it or not a fan?
I kind of was a fan of it. I've always been a... If he hadn't given up a hit...
That was the big thing. That was like...
And I was scared to tweet it out where I was like, Sevy not giving up a hit could be the worst thing that happened to the Yankees. Because I think if he had... If you traded one of those walks for a hit, I don't think he goes out on the mound there. But the guy hadn't been touched.
That was going to be my very specific question. If you trade one of those walks for a single, hard hit single, does he start the fifth? And I don't think he does.
And that was the part you touched on a little bit, but we skipped over it. Top four, Oakland loaded the bases. They couldn't turn the double play. Was that what happened?
Yeah, and then Andujar spiked a ball, and then Voit couldn't scoop it.
The throwing error, yep. And then there was an Olsen walk, and then Laureano had a great at-bat, kind of my boy. And then he struck out Semien. So, yeah, I think he was around 80 pitches. It's 2-0. But, yeah, he hadn't been hit, so they throw him out there.
Dude,
and
at 2-0, I was so scared because home run, obviously, makes it 4-2 in going into the fifth inning or bottom four or whatever, like deep in the middle of the game. A single ties it, probably. Yeah. I was so scared that at bat. That was the most nervous. That was when I was like, okay, get some more fucking runs, guys, if we're going to do this every inning. And then we do it. We don't get any runs. We have a really bad offensive at bat. And then we do it the next inning. Dellen comes out of the bullpen. That's a shocking move. I don't think anyone would have predicted Dellen being the first out of the pen, especially with two runners on and no outs.
Yeah, and I don't know if we want to have this talk right now, but everyone anticipated Chad Green being the first guy out of the pen, kind of in any situation, unless they were purely planning going Seve to Hap, like no heart, just playing it by the book. But yeah, going to Delhi, and boy, how good did he look? How composed did he look? He had two sliders get away from him on Lowry that were supposed to be outside and they were inside and Gary snagged them. But dude, cool as a cucumber, and what a performance.
Redemption, thy name is Dellen.
Yeah.
Because this guy was, we had a wild card game last year where we bullpen dated it, Jake. We went Chad in the first inning, then D-Rob, and Dellen didn't get the ball.
Unintentional bullpen day.
Yeah, but Dellen didn't get the ball.
I know.
And now he's going two innings. Hey, if you're out there and you're trying to say you weren't second-guessing two-inning Dellen, then one, you haven't watched Yankees baseball this season, and two, you're just a liar. If you weren't second-guessing two-inning Dellen, I think you're nuts. But Boone wasn't, and Boone said in his postgame, he's a stud. I wanted him out there. It's like simple as that.
Yeah, so I have two things. On Delhi and Gary and his blocking balls today, I got a really good tweet, and someone just said, you don't punt on talent.
Yeah.
And those two guys are super talented, and it ended up paying off. And Jimmy, this is going to be my other quick hitter that people aren't going to love because it's easy to do. But after watching where Delhi was last year in October and where he is now, hey, any of you Greg Bird and Sonny Gray haters, those guys can be back next season in a big way.
Yeah.
So I know you don't love hearing that, and they're pretty much done for the rest of this season.
They're not on the roster. They're not going to be on the roster.
I was on the mic saying I thought Delhi would get traded in spring training because he had more value to another team. And now look. So
no, he's awesome. And he's cocky, Seve with the roar, Delhi with the little whatever the fuck he does after he strikes guys out. That was awesome. And then we go into the bottom of the fifth, and they still don't do anything.
Yeah.
Top six, D-Rob comes in. Oh, what did he
do? No, that was Delhi's second inning.
Oh, okay. So Delhi's second inning was top six.
Yep.
So then bottom six, they bring in Treenan. No, they bring in Rodney. Who was the Rodney. One guy we said in our pregame show, we'd love to see. Give me
Dude,
Rodney. Give me him.
I've been peacocking, man. Like, a lot of stuff I said. Like, normally you and me are talking. This is a fun podcast. We kind of know Yankees. We know Yankees. We kind of know baseball. We don't overstep our limits. We're rarely going to say, oh, Luis Severino, how could you throw a change up there? Because he's the guy that's the major league pitcher, and he's got a game plan, and it is what it is. Dude, Rodney is meat. This guy's been in the league forever. He's got two pitches. We got to him last time in Oakland. I mean, when the Yankees saw him come in, their eyes had to light up. Ours did.
Yeah. And then he got lit up.
And
but not really. I mean,
the
Judge
first one was fluky.
Who cares?
Judge, if you didn't see it, but you're listening to the podcast, hi. But
what up?
So Judge swings super late. I'm assuming it was a Rodney fastball.
Yeah.
And he hits it, and it lands on the ground in foul territory outside the left-handed hitter's batting box and has so much spin on it, it chops and spins fair down the line, easy double, and then Hixey comes up and ropes a double. And then one pitch, and then he gets yanked for Treenan in the sixth, which, Jimmy, I've already give Bob Melvin and the A's enough crap, but you want to talk about that? Because I don't have nice things to say.
About Treenan?
All right, I'm going to say it. I just don't see why you bring him in there. There's a runner on third with no outs, and Treenan's got strikeout stuff. I think he's got 100 Ks in 80 innings.
We skipped Voit's triple.
No, because they brought Treenan in, and he walked Stanton.
Yeah, but first Hicks hit a double off of...
Yeah, I mentioned the Hicks double.
Okay. Well, the Hicks double, they're playing the infield in, or like some weird infield.
Yeah, and there was the weird pass ball that set up... It didn't get past him. Like, it went off Lucroy's toe and was just sitting there. So Hicks takes third. And then they have the infield in with Chapman playing midway slash back at third because Giancarlo hits the ball the hardest in the league. I've never seen that. Have you seen that?
No, that was weird. Just scared.
I'm just saying, I realize this is do or die and you want to get innings out of Treinen, but there's a runner on third with no outs. It's 90% that guy's going to score. And I just don't know. You end up burning. Treinen throws 20 pitches that inning. They still get to him.
But, I mean, what are you going to do? They're losing, and they need to hold it, so they bring in their best pitcher. I don't think that's a bad call by them. They said he was going to throw 3 innings this game.
I just didn't love the move because even if you come back, I mean, they used Trevino, who's their 2 guy. They didn't use, who's the guy that used to be the Mets closer? Familia. I think I would go to Familia there. Just because, say you do get back in the game, now you've already burnt your closer, and now Familia or Ryan Dull or some random guy is going to be in the game. I mean, I'm sorry.
I disagree. I'd go Treinen there. I'd lock it up with your best, and then when you close it, it's the same thing we said a couple weeks ago when they were bringing other guys in before the best. Like I'd bring Treinen there. I thought it was fine, but Treinen got wild by the crowd. Like Voit. Stan put together a hell of a bat to work the walk.
Eight pitch walk, yeah.
Then goes to second on the pass ball, what stolen base, whatever the hell that was. And then Voit puts together just an incredible at bat. I think we went to it was 2-0, and eventually went to 3-2, which that's not a good spin, but whatever. At 3-2, he fouls 3 pitches off, and Treinen's got nasty stuff. And then Treinen finally gives in. He thought he crushed it off the bat. It was like 6 inches away, so whatever. But he does.
I don't think he crushed it. I think he just went full short porch in his head.
And you can't be upset because he's still got a triple out of it, so whatever.
Yeah.
And 2 RBIs. But Voit, dude, he is energetic. He said in his postgame, I don't think you'd ever guess I'd be the one to have a triple and score on a sac fly.
First ever triple.
Oh, what did you think about the replay on sac fly that Didi popped him in on? Because I thought he was out.
I thought... It's probably one of those, if he was called out, you have to call it out. But, it was one of those classic, like, the 2 different camera angles told me 2 different stories.
Yeah.
Because the one, the overcam, it looks like he tags him, but it looks like Voit's hand is over the base, like, not on the base. And then you see it from the side camera, and it looks like Voit's hand is on the plate, excuse me, and the tag hasn't been made yet. So it's one of those kind of a tough call for Oakland. You can't overturn it. I don't know.
So
could have gone either way.
And then Stan hit his home run off Treinen, right? Bomb home run.
Yeah,
they tried to throw him for a third inning, and it was the first batter of the third inning. That was a monster shot, dude.
Yeah, and last thing about the Luke Voit at bat. It was the same pitch, 3-2, 3 times, inside sinker, 96, 96, 96, and he fouled it off the same way every time. He just chopped it down the third baseline foul, and then he throws the slider and does it. It's 6-0. A's go down 1-2-3 for Robertson. When I say 1-2-3, Simeon lines up to defensive sub Echevarria with an incredible catch.
And did you see him getting pulled in the 6th inning?
I mean, did he make the last out that inning? Let me see.
Yeah, he wasn't going to get up again until the 8th, I think. But either way, man, Boone pushed all the right buttons. The brass choosing Severino turned out to be good. I mean, bringing in Betances, no one would have thought to bring in Betances with 2 on. No one. I mean, I wouldn't have done it. I think a lot of the fan base wouldn't have done that. That worked. Putting Betances out for a 2nd inning when you have Chad, D-Rob, Britton Chapman, that worked.
And Jim, I know you had a lot going on. I killed the Twitter game tonight, Avi. But dude, think about how long Oakland probably scouted Chad Green.
Thinking he was going to be the first one out.
Thinking they were going to get probably 2 innings out of Chad, maybe in the 2nd inning, maybe in the 1st inning. And then to go to Delhi there, no Chad Green? I mean, that's almost a little trickeration from Los Yanks.
And they did what you said they were going to do, where the big five, not counting Holder, the other big five, they were going to try and do it with four just in case it gets tied and you have to go 10. You have one of those guys left over. They left Chad as the potential if we tie it and it has to go extras. We need one more lockdown guy as the 10. That was
slash if Chappie didn't have it. Because this is the first time we've seen electric Chappie in a while, which is awesome.
That was awesome. So Stan Tech's on the run.
I want to hop back top seven. Robertson comes in. Simeon hits a bullet to Echeverria at third. If you didn't see that play, that was incredible. And then, so after that, LaCroix lines one out to left center, pure left center. And luckily, again, nobody talks about outfield shifts too much. They had the full outfield shifted to the right, and McCutchen was there, which we were really close to back-to-back doubles, which would have changed the game a little bit. And then D-Rob strikes out Nick Martini, because why are you there? we half missed an inning too, Jim. So we go, Treenan gets the Yanks. And then Britton comes in. So I kind of had this order of operations too. And Britton gets touched up a little bit. Chapman hits a nice single, and then Chris Davis goes oppo taco. So it's 2-6. It's a single at-bat game? What's the phrase? What do you call that? Oakland can tie it with one swing, potentially.
I don't know. I don't know. A close game.
But, yeah, so it's a four-run game. Britton finishes out the inning with another. There was a four-pitch walk to Piscotty in there. And then Stanton, first batter in the eighth, just hits. It's funny. I think it's starting to get funny to describe stuff because you're always looking for new cool terms. Because like a term like moonshot has been used a ton.
Yeah. So
that was a moonshot, Jim.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And he stared it down. Chappie's reaction was awesome. Are you at all going to be like, well, it was a tack-on home run, so it doesn't matter? Because in the postseason, I don't give a fuck about tack-on home runs unless it's like 10-0 in the ninth. It was a four-run game.
That's, I just said it's a one-swing game or whatever term we want to make up, and he got it off of Treenan, a guy who's going to get Cy Young votes this year, and maybe is it still the Rolaids reliever of the year? How about Rolaids chucking out dough for that?
I have no idea.
But yeah, Stanton, an absolute moonshot. It was about 20 feet over the foul pole. And dude, Jim, we'll see if this comes to fruition, but I was feeling Nostradamus-y. I said if Stanton got a homer in this game, I think he's going to have a nut job playoffs.
You did say
Because like I said, dude, I compare him to A-Rod. They're the kind of these Greek god type guys who are just have insane work ethics and aren't just kind of natural. I don't have the natural Jeter Judge in them. And dude, I think that's big for Stanton. His first playoff game, to have him see himself do that and not go into the Red Sox series thinking, oh, I need to get that first playoff home run. I think that's huge. Look at the slump the guy went in trying to get number 300.
Yeah. So the only thing we need to correct is Gary didn't get offense going, and Glaber's first at-bat was yikes.
Glaber looked 21, and Britton. You got to throw Britton in there.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, I blocked Britton out of my brain completely, but, I mean, Chris Davis will get his, and it was a wall scraper, but still, no one else did it, so Britton, come on, dude. Come on. Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's just another guy you can almost tell instantly if you're getting good Britton or bad Britton.
Yeah, which is how Betances used to be. That wraps up that game.
Right.
I think we're good. In the end, I think, okay, let's go through. McCutchen did what McCutchen needed to do, get on base for the big boys. Judge did exactly what Judge needed to do. Hicks, he got an RBI double. Hicks, great game. Stanton, he got a hit, scored two runs, a walk, a stolen base, an RBI. Stanton, good game. Voit, one swing. We said we'd rather have Voit have one big hit than two singles because you said you'd rather play Voit. You said you would rather start Voit and he go 1-for-4 than start Neil Walker and he go 2-for-4 because when Voit does connect, it brings that energy And it does. And so Voit, good game. Neil Walker comes as... We use three defensive replacements. Etch, Neil Walker, and Gardner. I think we're going to see that a lot. So we better have...
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see Neil Walker at first. Because I will... Voit isn't a good defensive first baseman. But I mean, you talked about it. I mean, Neil Walker was new to the position last year. He's...
What Neil's doing for this team is unsung. I mean, he didn't play third or first at all in his career, and now he's playing him regularly for the Yankees as a defensive replacement.
I know baseball's changed a lot, and we look back at those 90s teams, and everyone says, yo, Tim Raines was on the bench. If this Yankees team does something special, they're going to say, like, Neil Walker was on the bench? That guy used to have 25 homer season, switch hitter, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Didi Gregorius, one hit, and then the RBI sack fly. Good game from Didi. Andujar had one hit, and he had a four-pitch walk versus Trevino, which, I mean, Andujar has a four-pitch walk, and then Glaber goes up there swinging out of shoes, kind of reverse a little bit. But Andujar also had two bad throws. One Voit saved him. The other Voit couldn't save him. I'm going to say Andujar didn't have the best game. I'm not going to say bad. It can clearly have been better. The hit helps.
I'm going to kind of go against you there, man. He made the plays at third. The Voit pick was low-key an ugly pick. He had the glove the wrong way.
I don't care, dude. Andujar could have lobbed that ball. He straight spiked it from 40 feet away. I know that you have to make the pick.
If Voit picks it, are we talking about it? I know this goes back to the Red Sox game.
I will always, always blame the guy who throws it in the dirt rather than the guy who could have picked it and should have picked it. Throw the ball to his chest. Throw it to his chest. He had all the time in the world. He could have lobbed it over there.
Yeah, I mean, Birdie got a lot of guff in that Red Sox game. I know he
but
was
not
also
for me. I will
a
always,
target.
I will always blame it on the thrower.
I might re-listen to that. But I'm always on the thrower. Andujar picked it cleanly. He got a walk. He got on base in his two at-bats. He made two nice fielding plays at third. The throws weren't great. I mean, we're a pick away from not talking about it. I know people said he had a bad game, but dude, this goes back to what you replied to someone on Twitter. Like, what do we expect?
Well, I didn't say he had a bad game. I just said didn't have a good game right in the middle.
I think he had kind of a good game.
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, he put us in that
basis.
He got
two at bats. He got a single and a walk.
Yeah, he had a good game offensively, but he put us in a...
He had an Andujar game defensively. The first play of the game was the backhand chopper, and he made that play, which scared the hell out of everyone.
An Andujar defensive game is a poor game. He's a bad defensive player.
What would you rate, scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate Andujar's game today?
5.1.
That's a joke.
Dude, he could have hurt us really bad if Sebi doesn't get out of that.
And he... But he didn't. Two at-bats, he had a hit and a walk. Voit picks that, we're not even talking about it.
If he throws it straight, we're not even talking about it.
All right.
You can't blame it on Voit.
Echeverria. It was an ugly pick. Ugly pick. Sure. He had the glove the wrong way.
Sure, dude. He should have thrown the ball at his chest because he was 30, 40 feet away, and he had all the time, and it was an easy play. But he's has very bad mechanics.
Yes.
Yes. It's not surprising, but it's still all his fault. Echeverria, he got two at-bats in the end, but whatever, he made that play, did exactly his job, so good game. Gary, 0-for-3, solid defensively, but the bat, he hit that one ball right over the base, so that always sucks, new baseball. But whatever, Gary, get the pitchers through it, and then when you clobber it, it better count.
I'd give Gary
like a 5 point or six. Well, I'll give Gary Gary had a good game. He didn't fuck us over defensively, and that was the scariest thing in a one game playoff.
Yeah, I mean the one up the middle was a 10 hopper, and it wasn't a shift because normally they play the second baseman there in the shift. There was a runner on first. He beat out the double play, so you can't even say like the shift monster got him or anything like that. Yeah, I mean, he didn't look great at the dish. He didn't strike out, and he played good defensively, which is more important.
More important at the catcher position. And then Glaber went 0-for-3. He was the only one that I thought looked like really bad at plate. His at-bats later on looked better. He put poked one into left field, just right at the guy on a two-strike pitch. But he was he was down in the count, two strikes. He looked like nervous, jitters, young player in his first postseason game. So hopefully he has a little talk with himself and gets the jitters out and is fine.
It's out of the way, kid.
Yep. All right, Sebi. I mean, Sebi looked. I mean, it's crazy that we only wanted four innings, but whatever. That's exactly what we needed with the one game short leash game anyway. Dellen looked amazing. D-Rob was, I don't even remember, it was pretty boring. Britton bad. Chapman looked good.
Robertson line looks better than it was. He gave up the etch line drive and the kind of bomb to Lucroy, but McCutcheon was positioned there. Chapman's one of the big stories from this. 2 days ago, we were saying we think Britton's going to close, and then Chapman comes out with that 101 gas.
Yeah, that was wild. We haven't seen that since he came.
He's totally a turn-it-on guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets jazzed up. All right, so tomorrow we will come out with a little mini-sode preview of the Red Sox series because, like Jake and I said, we have not even thought about it. I need to look at everything before I can talk about it because the mental block was up. I will say this. I'm confident we will give the Sox a series. I'm not going to be here and say we're going to fucking smash them. It's ours. We do have to play two on the road. I think the team is in a good state. I think, weirdly enough, having to play the wild card and then winning gives you like such a momentum boost going into game one. You've already played a playoff game and won it before.
You're at the casino with free money, Jim.
Yep. So I'm confident. I'm not worried. Like, I'm not sick to my stomach because the one game playoff. Fuck the one game playoff.
Let's Here's what the announcer said this a little bit, that the pressure was on the Yankees because you're the better team in the one game playoff. And this isn't a shot at Oakland. They entered the year with the lowest payroll in the league. The Yankees are much more talented. That shouldn't be a shot across the bow, but some people might think that. I mean, the Red Sox, after the season they've had, now have the Yankees coming into town after months of, they were pissed off at us because the Yankees got so much hype before the season. And then the Red Sox came out and had an incredible regular season. They're challenging the win record for a little bit. And now the Yankees are coming to town in a five-game set to try to that could end their season. And so I just talked about the talent gap between Oakland and New York. The talent gap between New York and Boston, I mean, you could cut with a knife. This was Twitter for about 2 months before the season started with all the Xander over Didi, Didi over Xander, Bogarts over Drury, like all of those tweets. I mean, the reason there were so many of those, because they are matched up so tightly. And yeah, we'll save the rest for tomorrow's pod. But man, if they can get one in Boston, Jim.
Yep, that's one in Boston. That's what I would like.
Woo!
All right, thank you guys very much for listening. We love that you enjoy listening and being part of the show and engaging. Send in any questions. Join on the Instagram Live Friday before the game. We'll tweet out the time we're going to do it beforehand. But we went on for like maybe 20 minutes and just talked about the game and the matchups and the lineup and all that. And then answered some questions on Instagram Live, Talking Yanks on Instagram. We're going to do that before every postseason game. We're going to have a podcast after every postseason game. We're guaranteed three more. Let's go. Shirts right now at TalkingYanks.com. If you want to get some of the shirts, we got some pretty cool ones. They are buy one, get one 50% off if you use the code OCTOBER, all capitals, OCTOBER. The shirt, 276 home run record, where the numbers are made up of all the players who hit it. That's probably my favorite shirt right now. But CC, that's for you, bitch, is the most popular. Rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for making this the most enjoyable season for me, following from a fan perspective. I mean, so let's keep going. We're happy you're with us. And if you're new, thank you for joining. Thank you very much. Jake, any last words?
Not to get too sentimental, but I mean, this has been your career for a little bit. This is becoming my career. And not only was it our favorite team on the line today, but it was like the potential end of, like, this year for us. I don't know. It was really weird. So happy we won. All the stuff Jimmy just said about shirts, Patreon, everything. Anything you guys do helps us and lets us do more, and we're thirsty to do more. So
yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
It's 1 a.m. We sat down at 6 to do the pregame show, and then I've just been, like, my brain's been like a hermit's in a little rolling cage during the game. But what a fantastic night. I got to go pass out. I got to edit this for a couple hours, then pass out. But thank you very much again. Love you guys. See you later. Go Yanks. Go Yanks. Go Yanks. Go Yanks. Go Yanks. Tell them grandma.
Go Yankees.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.